Our text, Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, and it's good to see Jesse up here and sing and not get sent to Mrs. McGinnis's office when she was the principal, and you know, that was a daily visit for him. And it's good now that she sees him in a good light, okay? It's all right. Make sure you sit near her, Jesse. Okay. All right. We're in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 is where we're going to start, but that's just a jumping off place, so to speak, today. And we're going to see the problem. It's like it is today. And so it starts in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with thee, with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth. You know why they don't want the Word of God in schools today? Now, they want pornography in schools, but they don't want the Word of God in schools. Why? Because that's the truth. There's no error. It's absolute. And when you think of absolute truth, why do you not want children just to have that available to read, to learn? And yet, many of us that are in my age group, we grew up in public school that had Bibles, that had prayer, and even references to scriptures as the teachers sometimes would teach. And some of them may not have been Christians, but they had been taught Bible and knew at least a little bit to be able to pass those principles onto their children. And I think our land was a lot more moral in that day than it is in this day. But the Lord has a controversy with Israel. Now, that's understandable. He gave them the Ten Commandments. He had given them so much of the law. He had blessed them. He had delivered them out of Egypt. And over the years, He had delivered them time and time and time again. Deliverance. And yet, after repentance and getting things right with God, then they felt like, well, you know, whoever the priest was, whoever the prophets were, whoever the king was in some cases, but whoever it is, they're old. That was how it was. They need to get up to today. Things have changed. They just have no idea of what's going on today. And they just need to change. They need to see that this is a new day that we live in. And yet, you know, I've seen those new days change and then fade, change and fade. But I've never seen the Word of God fade away. It is still true, and it'll always be true throughout the time and eternity. We'll even have it in eternity. If you hate the Word of God, understand you get saved, you're going to have the Word of God throughout all eternity because it's preserved forever in heaven. And so please, please, please don't be deceived. Some of you have some great education as far as many degrees and letters after your name. But anything that goes against the Word of God, the Bible, truth, standards, morality is evil. If it goes against those things, it's evil, it's wrong. And if you believe that they're all right, you're deceived. You're deceived. Understand. Satan's the loser, but he's not ignorant. He's not ignorant, and he can deceive. That's why you've got to walk with God every day. Walk in His Word. Stay in His Word. Read His Word. Meditate on His Word. And obey His Word and live by that Word. Walk in the Word of God, for it is absolute in its truth. So, we go on there. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break out, blood toucheth blood. Therefore, shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field, with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea shall be taken away. Now people say, oh, how can that be? Have you ever heard of red tide? I've walked on beaches that the red tide had just hit. And I see what it is to see a lot of them laying up there, but just thinking on a much larger load. Wow. And so we see that these are things that can happen. They are ways God is telling us, this is how I'm going to judge. Now, we look at much of the Bible and we see things that are going on today. We say, boy, he's got to be coming soon. He may not be coming soon because only he knows the day or the hour. He does tell us there are things that kind of should wake us up to it. But we should live every day as if the Lord could come today. Live every day that way. He could come today. But what I want you to understand as well, because we know he could come at any time, realize you need to be ready. But on the other hand, if he doesn't come in the next year, 2 years, his judgment may be the destruction of your country, the destruction of your homes, destruction of lives. You're not even sure if you want to go to a mall anymore, are you? People are afraid to send their kids to public schools now. And what else do we need as further illustration for us to see that God does judge? And when parents encourage your children to, you're an American, so you don't have to do what they tell you to do. And they say, they stand up to police. They say, well, no, I don't have to do that. They say that to our law enforcement. They say that to teachers. They say that to principals. They say that to whoever's in authority. I know that a rebel has been raised by a rebel. Now, let's be Christians, Christ-like. Let's stay true to the word as Christians, because this world is pretty well described today in this passage. And because of that, they need an example of what living by faith actually is. Willing to take it on the chin for the hope of the salvation of others. Let's have that heart. Well, let's have a word of prayer, then we'll get started into the message. Father, I thank you that we have the opportunity to delve into your word this morning. I pray that you would make it clear, Lord, I can't do it as well as you can, that's for sure. And so I pray that Holy Spirit would just make that clear to each and every one in this auditorium, as well as those watching and listening in some means or matters. Lord, just really may the Holy Spirit speak to the heart in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, I've told you several times in the study about our text being as today's headlines in America, in our land, but also in the world. And we need to see something else, though, that stands out that we have not covered yet. Now, I've actually been trying to build back to this to see what we're going to do, but I wanted to see the first few verses there, chapter 4, so you can kind of get an understanding. But we need to see the beginning of the book of Hosea, the foundation of this book. And we see much in the first three chapters. But much of what you see in those three chapters will raise questions. So turn back to chapter 1 real quickly, if you will. Two chapters back, chapter 1. And we're going to start with verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, and Israel. Of course, they are of the northern kingdom. Judah, Jerusalem, they're of the southern kingdom. And we see that the northern kingdom is going to be destroyed before the southern kingdom has to go into that. And so in either case, they've gone away from God. Those kings that you see there for the that last part there, the kings of Israel, they are not good kings. They're not godly kings. Not all of them are godly kings there, but he lived during the day. These are kings that he lived during their day. And Hezekiah was one of those kings. That was a good man. He was a good king. He loved the Lord. He had a problem in his life. Yes, he sinned in his life. But he didn't stay there. He didn't stay defeated. He got back up. He went back right after it. But again, we're looking at these things. Now, this book of Hosea is one of what they call the minor prophets. There's 12 minor prophets, but it's interesting to me that the first of those is Hosea. Sometimes when you read the minor prophets, it's good just to keep that in your mind, that God used this as a launching point when he breathed out every word for the writers to write accurately down, for him to preserve accurately as it has been throughout the ages. Now, all of it is important, but this was the beginning point of those minor prophets. And we see many times these minor prophets are lone voices in their day, meaning they took a stand. Even if no one else would, they would take a stand. Now, we can talk about Elijah. Boy, I mean, he was in trouble as far as the Jezebel and those wanting to kill him. He took a stand. But there were people that stood with him. We can talk about other prophets that God stood with them, but these minor prophets, many times, they stood alone. And that is really the measure of the depth of our own Christianity. What would it take to make you turn on the fundamentals of the faith? What does it take? Is it money? Is it your job? Is it your house? Is it your children? Is it your marriage? What does it take to abandon God, as many of these Israelites did in their day? He says in verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Anytime a church that claims to be a Bible-believing church and begins to support other religion because, well, they're good people and we just need to be nice, and we're supporting a doctrinal group that's going to lead in a different direction doctrinally, God is not pleased. I mean, we've had that little series on Exodus where they saw what happened in Egypt in the worship of the golden calf. And so they decided to do that in the wilderness, and they were just going to simply adapt it to their religion. And so they said, okay, we'll do this in the name of our God. We'll do this in the name of the Lord. We'll do this in the name of Jehovah, Yahweh. And God was ready to kill them all. Just say, okay, I'll raise up a new nation with just Moses only. They had to repent. But it did make God angry. And so what does it take turn us back to the paths of righteousness for his name's sake? It seems that you need the things we need to consider, because this isn't just a one-time occurrence in the Word of God. We see it many times in the Word of God where it happens. People learn, they repent. Then in time, more of a newer generation comes up. Well, this can be a part of us too. It wrecks the country. They feel the chastening of God, and then they repent. Then God takes his hand off a little bit. Israel had to go through 70 years of captivity for God to finally say, okay, have you learned your lesson? They went back. God had to send them out again. So understand, God is long-suffering, but he does chasten his own. He does spank, he does scourge, and he does bring judgment on those that refused to stay true to the word of God. And so, he called it whoredom when they departed from the ways of truth and righteousness and holiness. When a people say, okay, look, those standards are old-fashioned. What's wrong with us? You know what God says you're doing? He says you're a whore. You're a believer. Now you've become a whore because now you're selling yourself to the world. You're selling yourself to those things. That's what you are. Now you say, Brother Andy, you shouldn't say that. I'm telling you what God says. I'm telling you what his word says. He said, you've sold yourselves to whoredom. Now, you either believe God or you're calling him a liar, but don't sit down there and just say, well, Brother Andy, that's just come from you. No, I'm just a mouthpiece for the Lord here today. This is his word. So, they're departing. This is what he calls it. When you're departing from the truth, when you depart from sound doctrine, when you depart to go to hear that contemporary music and everything else that's in the other church that's enjoying it, just like they enjoyed the golden calf and they danced and did everything else in the wilderness till God was going to destroy all of them. What's it going to take? I hope God doesn't have to take one of your children. I hope God doesn't have to take a spouse. I hope God doesn't have to take something that's very good and precious to you because you're taking from him the honor, the glory that's due his name. You say, Pastor, you're threatening us. You're trying to scare us. No, but I'll tell you one thing. There was this old guy. I mean, he's an old man. And he got scared and he did something for the Lord. His name was Noah. And the Bible says Noah moved with fear, built an ark. Because he believed that what God had said about judgment. They can sit back and say, I had one person actually say that to me one time. You're threatening us with our children. I said, man, I can't threaten you with your children. I'm not going to kill any of your kids. I might feel like it sometimes, but I'm not going to kill your kids. If God takes them out of this world, look at yourself. Now, my friend, we've got to take a stand in these last days, and sometimes that stand starts in your home. As a matter of fact, every time it starts in your home. And so, here's Hosea. He's been told by God, to take a woman of the children of whoredoms in the land that hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. He's told to take this kind of a woman. Now, I don't know about you, but most of us, that raises a question, okay? Particularly after seeing the many commandments in the Old Testament against that as well, about marriage and what a marriage should be. And Hosea is being told by God, and he is a prophet of God, to take a wife, but one of the whoredoms and the land that hath committed whoredoms. Now, understand, that's not saying that she was a whore, but it is saying that she's of that background. That's what she grew up in. That's what she learned. And you'll see later in the book of Hosea, it affected her life. She chose that way. But was she one at the time? It doesn't say clearly that she was. It said to take of them. But was she really one at the moment? But not only do we ask why God would command a child of Israel, one of the Israelites, to do this. But again, he is telling this to a prophet. He's telling him to do this. Nowhere do we see Hosea saying, just what I've always wanted, Lord. I mean, the reputation. He didn't want to say, well, Lord, I just always wanted this. I want all my fellow Israelites to look at me and to see what I've chosen. I don't think that he said that. Because he's a prophet of God. But you know what? His name is Hosea. Now, you've heard preachers say it. You've heard me say it. A lot of times Bible names were given because they had a definition. They meant something. And it would say something about the life of the person. Hosea meant salvation. Salvation. And so this name is given to him, and it'll stand as a message that he'll receive that could spell salvation, not only to that lady and from what she came from, but to the people of Israel as well, to see that if they repent, if they get right with God, then he can save and he will save. And so, they may be steeped very deep in sin. Yes, even as the sin of harlotry. The Jews are a chosen people. But the gospel is for all nations. The gospel is for all people. Not wanting any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. God so loving the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation is for this world, and we are his witnesses, you see. That's what we're to be. And so, Jesus Christ doesn't want this world to go to hell. He wants them to be saved. There's no joy for him in the day he casts souls into hell forever and ever and ever into that burning lake of fire. Oh, yes. There's hope for this world in Jesus Christ. But if you're not wanting to be bothered by that, because somebody will criticize you, somebody will say bad things about you, about your church, about whatever else. Listen, that's the way the devil attacks. And let me tell you something. People that do that will think they're doing the right thing and a good thing. The problem is, there is no basis in the Word of God for them to do so. Sow discord among your brethren, and you shall be blessed. No, you see the wrong opposite of that. It says they're an abomination. They make God sick, is what the Bible says. Now, again, folks, I'm not going to apologize for telling you the truth, but if God lays it on the heart, you preach it, and that's what he's given me to preach. And so there's no apology coming for this, but I am saying, heed it. Heed it. And I agree with God 100% on it. And so, they may say things. People may happen. They may get upset with things. But understand, you have those kind of people walking this church. They may be drunkards. They may be homosexuals. In this woke culture, you don't know what they are. But you get all these kind of things coming in. Those are still souls that can be saved. Now, you say, well, preacher, do you really believe that? Well, I really believe John 3:17. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Those people can be saved. Now, we don't overlook the sin and try to water it down and say, well, there's nothing really that bad about it. No, it's evil. All sin is evil. There has never, ever, ever been a sin in God's eyes that's not that bad. Now, it may be in man's eyes, but one day you don't stand before man. One day you're going to stand before Almighty God. You see, that's where the rubber meets the road, as some have often said. So again, we say, well, oh, they're such wonderful Christians. And they may be wonderful people. They may be nice people. Doesn't mean they're bad, mean people, that they may just turn around and shoot you, or they'll just cuss you out. Or they may not be that kind of people. But if they're without Christ and they believe another way, they need Jesus. And we must never lose our sight on that fact, but on the other hand, we never compromise the truth in order for them to say, well, we're not that bad, because there's no such thing as not that bad. Now look, people need to be saved, and we need to be the light in this world. And well, you know what people are going to say about me? I may lose my job. Hey, my family won't have anything to do with me. Hey, this will happen, that'll happen. One of the worst things I think is going to be in heaven, at the white throne judgment. See, the judgment seat of Christ, that's where all the saved go. All the saved appear at the judgment seat of Christ. But after that, at the end, before he starts the eternal kingdom, there's the white throne judgment of God. And you don't want to see those people who died without Christ in our lifetime being cast in that eternal lake, and you were not willing to be a witness. Ezekiel says, their blood is on your hand. He provided you. He put you in your place. You're one of his children, and he put you in a place to at least be able to have a witness to them. Whether they receive it or reject it is up to them, but you are to be a witness. And if you won't at least give them the opportunity, I don't say it. Jesus says it. The Bible says it. Their blood is on your hand. And I believe, now this is something I believe, I don't know that everybody believes this, but I believe this. I believe at that white throne, those people are going to look at you. Why? Why didn't you tell me? Mom, Dad, why did you give in? You let me dress like that. You let me go to those places. You know, getting ready for high school education, graduation. You know what some, and I would not think it would be in this church, of course. But there's going to be parents across this community, let alone around this country. High school graduations are coming up. And they're going to let their sons and daughters drink their first drink as far as they're concerned. And we're going to celebrate, and you can drink and do all this other stuff. And some of those kids will go out and get killed that night. And imagine your own child looking at you and say, why did you rebel against the standards, those holy standards? Because we said we wanted that rock and roll. Well, we wanted to go to those movies. We wanted to dress this way. We wanted to have those tattoos. We wanted to look this way. And the foundations were destroyed. And now the righteous can do much of nothing because they went along with it. Oh, my friends, we've got to stand, brothers and sisters in Christ. We've got to stand right regardless of what the immediate cost seems to be. It never matches what the eternal cost would end up being. And so, we see that in this world today, oh, my goodness, it is a filthy world. There's too much to say about what all could be said about it. But it might be specific people groups, nations, colors. All of that's the world. All of it's the world. Any human breathing is all a part of the world. It's not, the Bible doesn't divide it up into colors, nations, groups, or anything. Everyone needs to be saved. And every saved person needs to be a witness, needs to be a light. Ye are a light in the world, as the Bible tells us. So I believe God has things in the Bible that are written for specific sins, which have individuals in mind, not us having them in mind, has individuals in mind to try to deliver them from the consequences of their sin. And the worst thing that I could do as a preacher is to try to honeycomb those things, smooth it over, or act like, it's not that. That's legalist. You know, that when there's something they want to do in their flesh, they call you a legalist when the Bible speaks against it. They think something's wrong with you. I like what one of the old preachers said years ago. I heard him preaching. He says, you kids may think I'm a nut, but I'm screwed to the right bolt. And my friend, you better wake up. Because I don't care what mom and dad has said it's okay for you to do. Don't pay attention to that preacher that's preaching the word. Don't pay attention to that. Listen, one day the Bible says you're going to give an account of yourself. You can't say it before the Lord. Well, dad said. No, the Bible said, I gave you the word of God. And he says, I've said. Now, I'm going to continue this tonight. But I want to share one verse with you. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now think about that. He that believeth on the Son of God. Believeth, you've heard it many times, is to rely upon, to trust with. I'm trusting God with my eternal life. I'm giving myself to Him. You're on an airplane and it's having a hard time, and it looks like it may crash, and there's a door open. It's one of the planes that you can jump from. And there's a man with a parachute. And he says, this plane's going to crash. Let me take you, and I'll parachute you down to safety. Now, he has offered you to be saved from that crash. But if you don't let him take you in his arms and hold you and keep you in the way, you can't say, well, man, I don't feel like I'm going to flap my arms. Yeah, you'll flap your arms right out of his hold. You say, well, I think I need to do that. I need to do that. Wait a minute. He's doing it. You just trust him with your life. You're giving your life to Jesus Christ, and you say, Lord, do with it what you need to do. I believe that you'll give me everlasting life. The reason I know that is because you died on a cross for my sin, all my sin I ever have or ever will commit. You suffered your own Father's outpoured wrath on your human spirit, and therefore you obtained the keys of hell and of death. You did that for me. I trust you, and I give you my life right now. Save my soul. And therefore, by your word, for him that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. By your word, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, who does not lie, by your word, I'm trusting you. And I'm giving you my life. I belong to Jesus. And when we get to that point, and you receive him as your Lord and Savior, he said there in John 3:36 that you have everlasting life. But if he that does not receive him, you don't believe him, then the wrath of God abideth upon you. What is the wrath of God? After the wrath that was poured out upon the very human spirit of Jesus Christ, there's another wrath. The eternal lake of fire, where one never ceases to exist, where one is tormented day and night forever and ever, tormented, real torment. As the rich man said that was in hell, who had not received Christ, said, I am tormented in this flame. And yet the lake of fire is going to be much worse than the flame that he was in. It was created for the devil and his angels to put fear in their heart. If it would put fear in the hearts of devils and fallen angels, my friend, you better believe that this is a real thing. Now, what I'm saying is that there's only one way of salvation, that's Jesus Christ, and he wants to save you. But you're turning to him, repentance. It's changing your mind. Instead of following the world and what's the trends and the ways of the world, I'm turning to Jesus Christ and I'm giving him my heart and life. His word is now my book of life. It is the book for my life. I'm going to live for Jesus. Because I believe that there is a heaven. I believe that there is a Christ. I believe that there is a God. And I believe that there is eternity. And when this spirit leaves this body, in him, I'll good be with him forever and ever. Everlasting life. Are you 100% sure today that you have that? Let's bow our heads. Father, as we preached your word, Lord, if we didn't love these folks, we wouldn't tell them the truth. But Lord, that's why we preach the truth in love, because we don't want them to suffer consequences that you've already taken care of if they would trust you. Lord, if there's one not saved here today, Lord, I pray that when we start singing, they'll leave their seat and walk down here and see me and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I die today that heaven's my home." I could direct them to someone trained in the Word of God right up front here that would open the Bible and show them how to be saved. There could be a Christian, Lord, who just wants to rededicate their life publicly. May they come and say, "Preacher, I want to rededicate my life to the Lord today," and I could have someone pray with them and just so we could share with that. But Lord, whatever the spiritual need is, may it be met in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.